What's up, everybody? You're listening to the Locked On Yankees podcast, your daily podcast covering the New York Yankees. We are brought to you by the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. If you're a new listener, hello and welcome to the show. I hope you enjoy today's episode. I am your host, Stacey Gatsoulias. I'm an author of Baseball Prospectus, and I run their Yankee site, BP Bronx. You can follow me on Twitter at the Locked On Yankees account, or at my personal account, Stay Scotts. You can listen to and subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, and Stitcher. You can also listen to the show via our website, LockedOnYankees.com. And finally, you can play Locked On Yankees on your smart speakers by saying, play podcast Locked On Yankees. As always, you can email questions or comments to LockedOnNYY@gmail.com. On today's episode of Locked On Yankees, we actually have some baseball news to talk about, at least. It's awards week, and MVP is announced tonight. Cy Youngs were already announced, Manager of the Year, Rookie of the Year. And there was some, I wouldn't say controversy, with some of the voting. More outrage by fans of both New York teams. We'll get to that. We have a little bit of Yankees news regarding Manny Machado and David Robertson. But let's talk about the awards first. If you've been living under a rock, Shohei Ohtani won Rookie of the Year, AL version. And some Yankee fans were completely outraged. Now, I mean, I get it because they're Yankee fans and they get outraged about every slight against them. And I say this as a fellow Yankee fan. Andujar had a fantastic year. He did. And any other year, he probably would have won the award. But because he was up against Ohtani, who both pitched and batted, there was no way he was going to win. Even with Ohtani losing time because of injury, it just, you know, it was wrong time for Andujar. And it's not an egregious slight. People aren't anti-Yankees because they voted for Ohtani. Ohtani deserved it, I guess. And if you look at both players, Ohtani pitched well and he hit well enough. You know, he's a pitcher who can actually hit home runs and he can actually win games on both ends. So, of course, he was going to win. Andujar, while a very good offensive player, isn't great in the field. And that didn't help him. But again, it was really just the wrong time. He happened to be up against Ohtani. Ohtani won. It's not that big a deal. Ohtani is on the Los Angeles Angels, who haven't been relevant in how long, aside from having Mike Trout. Have they won anything recently? Are they on the road to winning anything in the near future? No. So let them have this Rookie of the Year award while the Yankees build to hopefully win a World Series. Okay? Then last night on Wednesday, the National League Cy Young winner was Jacob deGrom, very well deserved. The outrage there was that one writer didn't put him in first place. It would have been a unanimous, like, first place thing if it weren't for this one guy, John Maffei, out in San Diego. And Met fans were outraged. And I said something about it on Twitter, but what I said was, it's not that big a deal that DeGrom didn't win unanimously. The problem is there are writers who have votes who believe that guys shouldn't win things unanimously and will try to be the contrarian. You see it in Hall of Fame voting. There are guys who should get in unanimously. There should be no question as to some of these guys getting into the Hall of Fame, but you'll always have two or three writers who don't put them on the ballot just because, oh, well, they shouldn't be in the first year. Like, stop. So I think that's what my issue was. And it wasn't a terrible thing. He put Scherzer first. Scherzer had 300 strikeouts. It's not like he put some random player as his first place Cy Young winner. But as usual, Met fans had to freak out about it. And Steve Summers of WFAN, he's on Late at Night, if I'm not mistaken. He had John Maffei call into the show, and then Maffei hung up on him, which is just typical Summers. It's tremendous. I saw he was trending on Twitter, and I figured, oh God, what'd he do now? And when I saw what happened, I didn't listen to the clip because I'm one of those people, I can't listen to or watch things that will make me embarrassed for the people involved in them, other than trashy reality shows. But even then, I'm a little picky. So I didn't watch the clip, but I can imagine what happened in order for the guy to hang up so quickly. But that's pretty funny. So those awards happened. Manager of the Year happened. I guess I should tell you the other winners. AL Cy Young Award winner, Blake Snell, which I'm happy about because I thought he deserved it. Apparently Trevor Bauer was going off on Twitter last night, pissed off that he finished in sixth place, and he put a side-by-side of his numbers and Snell's numbers, and like his FIP was better, and all these, his K per nine was better, and like that kind of stuff. And when I saw that people were talking about Trevor Bauer being outraged about Cy Young, I thought that maybe he was pissed that Kluber didn't win, or he was just mad that Snell won because of his numbers, and I don't know. But when I saw that Bauer was actually pissed off because of on his own behalf, I just thought it was very funny, especially because Trevor Bauer would be the first guy to tell nerds to shut up and just watch the game. And he's doing exactly what sabermetric people do, showing all the numbers. So it was just, it was an interesting day yesterday. Rookie of the Year in the NL was Ronald Acuna, of course, from the Braves. Juan Soto was second place, also not a surprise. There was one other thing with AL Rookie of the Year that was, there was a guy in Tampa who voted, he didn't vote for Gleyber Torres at all in the top three, and I think he was the only one to do that. And he put Andujar first over Otani. I think maybe he picked Joey Wendell. Was he a Tampa Bay rookie? I think that's what happened. That was a funny ballot. I just think it's funny that these guys do that sort of thing. You know that your ballot's going to be shown, and you know that people are going to attack you. Then someone joked that Scanlon's probably one of those guys who turns in blank ballots for Hall of Fame. And he probably is. He's probably one of those old guys who does that. So anyway, up next we have some Yankee news. There was an interesting piece by George King in the Post about David Robertson and playoff shares. where he voted for some people to not get as much of a share. I don't know. Seems kind of squicky that that sort of information is leaking against Robertson while he's a free agent. But who knows? And Hal Steinbrenner talking about Manny Machado. We have that to look forward to and more. But first, before we start talking about the Yankees, which is what this podcast is about, I'd like to apologize for the fact that it's Thursday and this is my first episode all week. I've been battling allergies or a cold or whatever this is, and I will have sneezing fits where I just sneeze for 10 minutes straight. My nose won't stop running, and it's just bad. And I couldn't set aside time to record because I would sneeze in the middle of it. It would change my voice. It would change everything. And I just sounded awful. So today's the first day when I didn't wake up and sneeze 50 times. I sneezed twice, but it was better than the previous three or four days. I even had some weird eye issue going on. So I've been a mess. So I apologize for the lack of shows. I was planning on doing a show a day and my damn allergies were like, nope, not letting you do it. So I apologize. So there's an article up on NewYorkPost.com by George A. King III. It was published at 8:40 this morning, and the title is David Robertson's Yankees Return Threatened by Behind-the-Scenes Vote. So teams vote for playoff shares, and while support staff members aren't guaranteed a playoff share, but they're usually given a full share if they're the type of support staff that the team really counts on. So during the final week of the season, the Yankees had a players-only meeting to determine postseason shares. Robertson was the one who called the meeting, and it resulted in assistant hitting coach PJ Pilater getting voted half a share, or a half share. And an analyst for the Major League coaching staff and a regular in the traveling party got nothing. And several support staffers who also travel regularly were cut. So like I said, coaches and trainers aren't guaranteed a share, but historically they're voted full shares when people are as dedicated to the team as someone as King says, the assistant hitting coaches. So I don't know. The sources are saying that Robertson was only one voter and he had others supporting his suggestions. Some believe he could have done more to make sure non-players got more of the pot. Shares are announced early next month, and Robertson ran that meeting because he's been involved in player issues in the past, and Adam Warren, who is also involved in that sort of stuff, was obviously traded away, so he couldn't be involved in that meeting. And the vote didn't include J.A. Happ, Zach Britton, Lance Lynn, Andrew McCutchen, or Luke Voit, because they were acquired via in-season trades. And to be able to vote, a player has to be on the active roster from June 1st and remained on the roster. And the player also had to be eligible to participate in the World Series. So I don't know. I don't know why this is getting out. I don't know if they're trying to make Robertson seem bad, so then if they don't sign him again, they won't look bad doing it. Robertson is representing himself this free agent season, and he answered via email, "I have a good relationship with Cash and the rest of the front office as well. As Yankee players, we are fortunate that our club provides incredible support staff. We appreciate those individuals and everything they do for us." So the playoff shares obviously get higher as you go further into the season. Last year's World Series champions, the Astros, they gave out 60 full shares, which came out to, hold on to your seats, $438,901.57 for each. That was out of a $30.4 million pot. They're based on gate receipts from the wildcard games through the World Series. So if you play in the wildcard game and you make it through the World Series, your pot's going to be bigger. And the Twins, who lost to the Yankees in the AL wildcard last year, voted 62 full shares that came out to $18,990.36 per person. The Yankees last year, their shares were $138,897.63. They had 57 full shares and 15.01 partial shares. Okay, I can't do math. I can't. It hasn't been determined what the share for losing to the Red Sox this year will be, but in 2017, the Indians, who lost to the Yankees in the ALDS, voted 62 full shares, and that came out to be $36,782.68 per share. So it will be intriguing to see what happens with David Robertson and to see if this report does anything to stain his reputation. We shall see. Hal Steinbrenner was in the news with regards to Manny Machado. This is my feeling. Machado's comments about not hustling were dumb, but it's not like the Yankees haven't had players who didn't hustle to first base. Like, hello, Robinson Cano. Like, I don't know. It's just not a big deal. But Steinbrenner said that Machado would have some explaining to do in the interview process with the Yankees. Steinbrenner said to a small group of reporters, if it's a $300 million guy or a $10 million guy, clearly those comments are troubling. But that's really Cashman's job. If we're interested in any player, sit with him face to face and ask him, where did this come from? What was the context around the entire interview? Was there a point you were trying to make? How do you justify it? Because that ain't going to sell where we play baseball. That conversation will happen no matter who it is. Asked whether it was important to make peace with Machado's controversial comments, Steinbrenner responded, it's essential. It's not just important. It's going to happen. So that was in an article from Ken Davidoff of the Post. And Michael Kay claims that the Yankees are in a serious way on Machado. Machado has said in the past, or at least his nephew, said that he should play for the Yankees. He has a relationship with A-Rod. Hal Steinbrenner even said that he's starting to text A-Rod about this sort of stuff. So talk to A-Rod. Have A-Rod talk to Manny Machado about his comments. He doesn't need to say stuff like that. The stuff that bothers me about Machado, not about the not running, because you know what? Some guys go all out, they'll pull a groin, and then they'll re-aggravate the groin, and then they'll be out for 6 months. The thing that bothered me with Machado is the sometimes dirty way of playing that he has. It's one thing to slide hard into second. It's another to be a dink about it. It's what he did to Aguilar at first base. Which game was that during the NLCS? Game 4 or game 3, where he hit into his foot? Apparently those two are friends, but they were pissy about it when it first happened. And, you know, you can't do stuff like that. You really can't. Like, you could really injure a guy if you hit bone to bone. You can injure yourself if you do that sort of nonsense. So that sort of thing bothers me much more than the not running to running things out and not running to first base. But I don't feel like that should be a deterrent for the Yankees, because I feel like the veterans on the team could do a good job of being like, dude, just do what you need to do. Stop being a dink and just play. But we'll see what happens. We'll see who they get this offseason, whether it's Machado, whether it's Harper, whether it's Patrick Corbin, whether they get Corey Kluber and Carlos Carrasco in trades. It's November 15th. There's plenty of time for fireworks. In 08, they didn't announce that Tex was going to the Yankees until the day before Christmas Eve, which was one of the best days online ever. And I may have to tell the story of that day on the anniversary of that day, because I will never forget it. It was amazing. So up next, I don't know what we're going to talk about. I'll find something to talk about. You'll find out after this. In the first segment, I spoke about the awards that were given out so far this week. I forgot to mention AL Manager of the Year, which went to Bob Melvin, deservedly. I would have been happy with either him or Kevin Cash. You know, no one expected the A's to win 97 games. No one expected the Rays to win 90. Boston fans and writers were up in arms because Alex Cora didn't win. I was thrilled that he didn't win because of his silly comments during the victory parade. So you won enough this year, Alex. Sorry. So apparently the Yankees are going to try and acquire the Yes Network back, which I'm sure you're like, wait, what? They were purchased, Yes, was purchased by 21st Century Fox 4 years ago. And the Yes Network has been the most watched regional sports network in the country nearly every year since it began in 2002. According to an article in Bloomberg, the Yankees have notified both Fox and the World Disney Company, which is about to acquire nearly all of Fox, in a $71 billion agreement of their intentions. If the deal goes through, it'll bring together two of the most significant media and entertainment giants. When the Yankees sold Yes to Fox 4 years ago, they retained 20% of Yes. The original agreement actually gives the Yankees the right to buy back Yes if Fox was to put the network up for sale, and Yes is the most valuable of Fox's regional sports network. I don't know what this means with regards to the Yankees spending money on the team, because they have a crap ton of money. I don't think people should worry about that. If the Yankees get the network back, they're probably not going to change much of anything on it. It's doing well as it is. Since 2002, they've earned over 100 Emmy Awards. That's insane. I like Yes. I remember when Yes first launched. I was living in Staten Island at the time, and I had Time Warner Cable, so we had Yes. My parents up here in Rockland had Cablevision, and Cablevision didn't carry Yes, I think, for the first full season it was on. You would go to Yankee games during the 2002 season, and people would just start up Cablevision sucks chants. And Yes was shiny. It was new. It was doing things that hadn't been done before. Like, I remember Yes had this little room that players would come in and interview one-on-one. I remember Jason Giambi being interviewed by Susan Waldman, and he came in, he was wearing like a cutoff t-shirt, so no sleeves, and shorts and slides, like Adidas slides, and he like literally had just gotten out of the shower. He was like sitting there talking to her, and I thought that was the greatest thing ever. And I remember my brother and father being jealous that I could watch Yankee games and they couldn't. That was so long ago. That was so long ago. It feels like a lifetime ago when you think of 2002 and who was on the team, what had just happened the year before. Wow. That's crazy. But yes, I was very relieved that I moved into the New York City area. I know Staten Island seems like it's a foreign planet. If you live there, you know that that's how it feels. When you live on Staten Island, no one wants to visit you. I lived there for like a year, and my friends visited me once. Yeah, it was just, yeah, it was like living on Siberia. After that, I moved into Manhattan, still had Time Warner, so I never went without watching Yankee games. Thank goodness. Before I wrap things up, there was something I completely forgot about. I apologize. All of the sneezing has just turned my brain into mush. So Dellin Betances told Brian Hoke of MLB.com on Tuesday that he's hopeful the team signs free agent slugger Manny Machado because he believes that he would be a difference maker in the lineup. Duh. His quote was, "I think he'll put us over the top. We were short last year. Things could have gone our way, but they didn't. Our lineup is already impactful, so adding a guy like that would be pretty crazy." You're right, Dellin. That would be pretty crazy. So Cashman has stated that starting pitching is the priority this offseason, which it should be, but I think that they should go for Machado. And I'm sick of hearing the Yankees talking about trying to stay under the luxury tax threshold. They were there this past year. They were under the threshold. They've paid so many millions of dollars in luxury tax penalties. I will let you guys know tomorrow. I read it in an article, but the number was astronomical and crazy. The two teams that went over the luxury tax threshold were the Red Sox and the Nationals. Interesting. One team won the World Series. The other team didn't even make the playoffs. So they're saying that Machado is expecting to seek a deal north of 10 years, $300 million. Now, north of 10 years is ridiculous. Even 10 years is ridiculous, but Machado is still pretty young, so his 10 years aren't going to push him into his 40s. Anyway, the Yankees do have a more important need with starting pitcher. They have Andujar at third base. Machado could come over and play shortstop until Gregorius comes back from his Tommy John surgery. So the Yankees don't exactly need Manny Machado, but would this be the first time that the Yankees got something they didn't need? No. So why stop now? Just do it. Stop being a bunch of wusses and just sign him. It'll piss everyone else off in baseball. It will reignite the whole evil empire thing. Just do it, like Nike says. Don't think about anything. Just do it. Sign him. I say sign him. So that's it for today's episode of Locked On Yankees, which is part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I've been your host, Stacey Gotsoulias. You can follow me on Twitter at the Locked On Yankees account or at my personal account, Stace Gotts. You can email us questions at lockedonnyy@gmail.com. You can rate this podcast on Apple and on Google. You can subscribe at Ackle. I've kind of put Apple and Google together there. Apple, Google, Spotify, and Stitcher. And if you could be so kind to rate the podcast and spread the word about the podcast to your fellow Yankee fans. Let them know that I won't always have allergies and that I'll be able to record. And if you live in New York, please be careful. The weather is going to get very treacherous in a couple of hours with snow and ice on the way. And if you live in other areas like California, be safe. I know that there are Yankee fans out in California. I know that there are Yankee fans in Europe who listen to this show. And if you're in Europe listening to this show, I thank you so much. So have a good day, everyone, and I'll talk to you all tomorrow.